It's actually not a message this morning. We're going to, and I mentioned this when we started this series, we're going to conclude our Pastoring Your Neighborhood series. Yeah, if you need a handout, just raise your hands and someone will come along and bring that to you. That when we end this series, which is today, we're going to collectively pray together for reaching the lost and for the mission of discipling others and those things like that. So we're going to do a guided prayer this morning, and then I'll give you some instructions. We'll take a moment to pray, and then I'll give you a next set of instructions, and we'll move like that throughout the service. And I really want you to just be in the posture that most helps you seek Him. So if that means to stay in your seat, that's fine. If that means to stand or kneel, or whatever and helps you to get close to the Lord and to seek Him, do that. If you would like to move around the sanctuary, you're not tied to your seat, so you're welcome to come up to the altar area. You're welcome to walk along the sides or go in the back. You're even welcome to go in the back prayer room if that gives you a little more privacy. Just know that it's open for everybody, so someone else might join you in there. But I really want us to just seek the Lord for His work, and we can go anywhere in this. We can stand, lay down, we can be loud, quiet, listen, clap, any of those postures we see in Scripture, but we just want to get in a position to seek the Lord. But to do that first, and part of this will be for us to learn how to intercede as we do this together. And in Psalm 35, the psalm writer starts his prayer this way. And when he starts it, if we're reflective, we might think that he's a little too focused on his stuff. But actually, the psalm writers teach us that this is often where we need to start, is to deal with our stuff first so that we can actually focus on interceding and seeking. Because I don't know if you've ever tried to pray and something's been bugging you, and that's all you're thinking about, and you're trying to pray for something else, but you just keep thinking about that. It's because it hasn't been dealt with. It's just, whether it's sinful nature, whether it's human nature, whatever it is, we often have to deal with that. And I'm going to show you how that's biblical. Psalm 35, and this is in your outline. The psalm writer says, "Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me." And so he starts with, "I have issues, Lord. Deal with these." Verse 2, "Take hold of shield and buckler and rise for my help. Draw the spear and javelin against my pursuers. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let them be put to shame and dishonor who seek after my life. Let them be turned back and disappointed who devise evil against me." You notice in here he's praying against other people. Lord, deal with these people. Now, it's not to say he's not going to land on a better place at some point, but right now that's where he is. Lord, deal with these people. Verse 5, "Let them be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. Let their way be dark and slippery, with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. For without cause they hid their net for me. Without cause they dug a pit for my life. Let destruction come upon him when he does not know it. And let the net that he hid ensnare him. Let him fall into it to his own destruction." So he's praying for all of that. Lord, get them. Lord, deal with my stuff. I have stuff. Fix it. Do something about it. Then notice what he does. Verse 9. "Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord, exulting in his salvation." Then, after I've dealt with stuff, after I've talked this stuff through with you, then, Lord, my soul will rejoice in the Lord, exalting in his salvation. "All my bones shall say, O Lord, who is like you, delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him, the poor and needy from him who robs him." He starts by saying, "Lord, I'm mad, I'm upset, I have issues. Lord, resolve these things." And then in doing that, again, we kind of feel self-centered when we're praying about our stuff. But it's when we deal with our stuff before the Lord that then we can actually focus and concentrate on seeking him, giving glory to him, and interceding on behalf of others. So, like I said, you can go anywhere in the room. Joe's going to be playing on the keyboard. And let's take a moment and let's deal with our stuff. So talk with him about whatever's on your heart, mind, and give it to him and get it out of the way. But this is something you should know stuff to say, right? Because you have complaints, you have issues. Start telling him and talk it through. Thank you. we keep taking steps, just stay wherever you'd like. So if you're kneeling, if you're somewhere else, stay there. If you want to move somewhere else. And we're praying as a group, so the group will move collectively, but if you individually are still wrestling with something, keep wrestling with that. So if the group moves on to a next step, you don't need to move forward. If you got issues that you're dealing with the Lord, keep dealing with them. Press in till you get a breakthrough. Press in till you're released. But we're going to press ahead. The psalm writer says in Psalm 42, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar." You see, sometimes when we reach the end of our request, we reach the end of our issues and the things that we're upset about dealing with in our lives. And sometimes even when the Lord resolves those things, we land in a space where, but we don't really have interest in continuing to pray. For whatever reason, we don't feel connected, feel distracted with dealing with other things. And just know in your own prayer life, this is kind of the dance that we're supposed to do with the Lord, is if I'm distracted, then I need to start talking about those things again until I'm not distracted. But I don't know about you, sometimes we're dead on the inside. Sometimes we don't have passion or an energy level or an excitement. And we're not alive. And what we need to do in that moment is we need to almost speak to ourselves. That's what he's doing. "Why are you cast down within me, O my soul?" And we're doing it with the knowledge of the Word of God and the knowledge of God's will and bringing correction, but why are you this way? Why are you this way? Lord, I'm distant. Lord, I don't feel connected. Lord, there's some kind of barrier between me and you, or I just don't have the attention. And so we deal with that. We talk that through. Just be honest. Just tell them what we're feeling. Even if it doesn't sound that smart, even if it doesn't sound right. A child, a three-year-old child doesn't come to their parent and think, "I have to make sure I'm very articulate." They just come expressing. And that's, who else do we have that we can just completely be free like that before? And when he says this, when he says, "Why are you cast down?" what he lands on is verse 7. "Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls." A connection begins to happen. "All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is within me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me?" You see, he goes back and forth. "Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." And so if you're not alive in the Spirit this morning, then tell him, "Lord, I need to be made alive. Awaken me, Lord. Help me to see. Help me to hear. But make me alive." Seek him this morning.
Mountain in the cross, in the
as I've been saying. We seek the Lord as a group, move together as a group. But if we have individual things we're dealing with, we keep wrestling with Him. I remember Jacob wrestling with the Lord overnight. He wouldn't let go until something happened. In fact, if we take steps forward this morning as a group and you think, I want more of that. You know, you can have that anywhere you are. It's the one of the few things in this world that you don't need money to get it. You don't need to have transportation to get it. No matter where you are and what's going on, we can press into Him. And I hope that you will, if you're not in that space, I hope that you will do that day after day after day. Press into Him. That's where the life is. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And so we press into Him. And we are able to love Him. In fact, it makes me think of the heart of stone that Ezekiel prophesies about, being removed from us and us given a heart of flesh. We're hard sometimes, you know, stubborn, resistant. We need to say, Lord, we need changed. Change us. Transform us. Help me, Lord. Because I'm weak, I'm flawed, I'm ornery, I'm stubborn. Transform us, Lord. And as a group, we're going to move forward and we're going to begin to pray for the salvation of others. And these next few steps, in a moment, I'll lead some individuals that'll come and pray, lead us in prayer as a group. But James says, you do not have because you do not ask. It's not that God's not powerful enough to make things happen. It's not that God's not wise enough to bring the answers. For whatever reason, He wants a relationship with us. He wants a connection. He wants us to ask. And what if in this moment, numerous people can begin their journey of coming to know Jesus Christ. Because we just asked, Lord, begin to draw them to you. You do not have because you do not ask. This is a yes posture before the Lord. If you ever thought, how do I get a yes from the Lord? This is part of a yes posture, is to start asking for it. But in fact, He then says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Another way to secondly get lined up for a yes is to not ask for what we want, but ask for what He wants. What does 2 Peter 3 says? 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord does not wish that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And so when we ask, pray for the salvation of others, one, we're asking, so we got a yes there. And two, we're asking for what He wants, so we got another yes there. In fact, Jesus, or Paul, actually, Romans 10, prayed for this very thing. In Romans 10, 1, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. Paul was praying that people would be saved. In 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4, Paul instructs us, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high position. Now, he focuses specifically on some people. And the reason is this, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. He prays for all people, but he prays for those in authority so that we can move forward in a peaceful way. Now, think about what we've been looking at in the last few weeks. The authority can get in the way of this mission that we're called to do, to reach people. And so we pray, Lord, touch the authority so they don't get in the way of this. And you might think, but I don't know if what Paul's talking about has to do with intercession or reaching the lost. Well, he continues. What he tells us to do, he says, this is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We pray for all people, and we pray for authority so that they don't get in the way. Because what we're after, what we're seeking is the very thing that Jesus came to this earth to do, to seek and to save that which is lost. You know people that are not saved in your life. We also know that there's people not saved that we don't know. There's people all around this church neighborhood that don't know Christ. You have not because you ask not. So what if we right now and moving forward kept asking, Lord, draw them to you. Bring a revival in this neighborhood. Open their eyes to see. Soften their hearts and the resistance that they have and draw them into the body of Christ. Lead us to them. Help us to reach them. The neighbors in your neighborhood, the people you work with, wondering, why are they so stubborn? Why are they resistant? Why are they not coming to know Christ? You have not because you ask not. And so let's take a moment and let's pray, plead with the Lord. This is for eternity, that he would open people's eyes and save them.
Father God, we just want to acknowledge your presence in this place, God. God, I thank you for ordained days, divine days like today. Father, I thank you for the work that you're doing, God. God, we acknowledge your faithfulness to us, God. We acknowledge, God, your goodness to us. Father, we bring before you the request for more souls, God. For the salvation of people. God, I pray that you would give us and grant us wisdom. God, I pray that you would awaken your body, God, the church, Father, the giftings that you've given. In the name of Jesus, I speak to every person's spirit. I say, come awake in the name of Jesus. Those gifts that you've given, God. You called us to specific and individual works, God. So I call those forth in the name of Jesus, an awakening within your body. God, the fivefold ministry would flow. God, that the equipping of the saints would begin to bring a harvest. God, I pray, Father, that you would give us a passion for those who are lost, God. That we would awaken from that slumbering, God. We would begin to have a heart that is after your heart, Father. We would begin to identify those things that you have gifted us with, God. And we would begin to work together in unity as a body. God, you said in your word that many are called, but few are chosen. God, I pray that you would equip this church to call in the many. But I also pray, Father, that you would equip this body, God, that you would equip this body to multiply the chosen. Father, that it would be a calling in of souls and an equipping of this body, equipping of this church for a multiplication of those you have chosen, God. God, I pray that you and your power would give us wisdom to see, God. We would know those who have been called, and we would know those who have been chosen. And in that, God, we would help to bear one another's burdens, God, that we would come together as one unit under the headship of Jesus Christ. I speak that over this church in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for moments like this that you have ordained in your time. And I just pray for every person that their spirit, their soul would come alive, it would come awake in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Jesus taught us to pray. He told us to pray believing that the thing has already happened, even if we don't see it manifest yet. So would you just for a moment give thanks to the Lord for the work you know he's going to do and the people you prayed for? Lord, we thank you. You said we have not because we ask not. And we ask and do not receive because we ask to spend it on our pleasures. That's not what we just did, Lord. We ask that you would bring people into your kingdom. And so we're thanking you that you are right now doing a work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. That right now, wherever they may be, even people that we don't even know, Lord, right now, the Holy Spirit is doing a work in their lives. And we ask that we would get the privilege to see that fruit manifested by people expressing they came to know Christ, by people bringing glory to Christ, by people showing up and doing God's will, Lord. May we get to see that. And we ask that you would build your church. Because it depends on you, Lord. You said you will build your church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And so we're believing that you are building your church. And as we pray, you know, part of the reason why I think it's hard for some of us to admit that we're weak or that we're lacking. You know, a lot of us like to think that, well, I've arrived. I'm good. I'm in the space that I'm supposed to be. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm there and sometimes I'm not. And I know my lackings, and I know that more needs to happen in my faith journey. And I hope that you see that as well. Because when we pray for people, it's not just about salvation. Because I don't know if you've known people that have come to know Christ and then they disappeared. They became a part of fellowship of the body of Christ and then they disappeared. Back out in the world and doing different things, because it's not just simply having faith in Christ, it's having an absolute abandonment to him and a heart filled with passion and zeal for the Lord. We need strength in our faith. We need maturity. In fact, that's what Paul actually prayed for in Colossians 1. He says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, praying for the maturity of others." Have you ever just with discernment observed someone and you thought, I'm concerned for that person? I know they've expressed a profession of faith. I know that they're doing different things, but I just sense a concern that their feet are not firmly planted. We need to pray. People, you have not because you ask not. Paul gives us demonstration of praying for this kind of thing. We need to pray for those around us, those maybe even seated right next to us. Lord, shore up their feet. Sure up their feet, Lord. When there are people sitting around us right now that we have no clue, no clue what they're going through, no clue the obstacles, no clue the threat, the spiritual warfare that's happening in their lives. And we need to pray. You have not because you ask not. When we ask, the Lord does things. The Lord responds, not because we're commanding Him, but because He told us to do this, that He is waiting for us to ask, and He wants to release so much. And so let's begin to pray for the increase of the faith, the maturing of the faith, the strengthening of the faith of those inside this body and those even outside this body, that He would strengthen their faith.
Thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys, and I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. 'Cause if I never had a problem, then I wouldn't know how my God could solve.
Father, I pray for the maturing of our faith. You are faithful to your word, Lord, and your word tells us that without faith it is impossible to please you. Lord, we are here today because we have faith in you and we love you. And Lord, help us to cooperate with you in the maturing of our faith. Your word also tells us that the just shall live by faith. Lord, help us to examine ourselves daily and ask ourselves if we are living justly. And help us, Lord, to grow in faith. Help us to cooperate with you in growing our faith. Lord, your word also tells us that the testing of our faith leads to patience, and patience will have her perfect work. And Lord, help us not to complain in our trials, but help them to have the work of changing us into being more like Jesus. Because that's one of the reasons that you allow trials into our lives, to change us into being more like Jesus. So help us to cooperate with you in our trials, to build our faith. And Lord, your word also tells us that our faith is the victory over the world. And so, Lord, give us more faith. Build our faith. Mature us in our faith so that we can go out from these walls and be your arms reaching forth to your sick and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Not too many other people that it's more fitting to ask that the Lord help us to not complain in our trials than Diane. Paul instructs Timothy, he says in 1 Timothy 2:8, I desire that in every place, the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Odd request. How can you pray while being angry? How can you pray while quarreling? Well, it's funny how we can be very spiritual and at the same time be very carnal and fleshly. And part of that fleshliness is when we're not able to get along with each other, to be in unity with one another. In fact, that was a thing that was very much heavy on Jesus' heart when he prayed for us. In John 17, he prays this, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. That's what he wants, for you to get along with that guy or that woman sitting next to you. That's what he wants, for us to cooperate with each other. And oh, there are so many things to disagree with each other on. There are so many things to squabble about. But the Lord wants us to be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. Why does he want this? So that the world may believe that you have sent me. That if we can learn to cooperate with each other and get along, that somehow in that the world will know that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the sent one. Then he continues, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Why does he want us to have this oneness? Because somehow in this oneness is how we truly know the glory and the manifestation of the presence of God. He continues, O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. I had shared this a week or two ago that when we try to step out and do what God has called us to do, especially when it comes to bringing more people into the kingdom, the enemy does not like that. And he will start by trying to take me out, and if he doesn't succeed at taking me out, he'll come after you. And one of the biggest ways he'll come after us is by getting us upset with each other. And there are all kinds of reasons that we have to be upset with each other, to argue with each other. But the Lord pleads with us, be one. The manifestation of his presence almost hinges on that. The mission itself hinges on, that's why the mission is failing today, because so many churches get broken apart and they can't hold themselves together. And we try to go out and just do it on our own, but the Lord wants us to be one. And so Cindy, would you come? She's going to lead us in a prayer of unity, and if our spirit would be with her in that.
I just wanted to prayed this, Pastor Dan was just talking about being one, and I Googled unity just to get a broader sense of it, and it says the state of being in one mind with others for the sake of accomplishing the will of God in the home, in the church, and in the community. And Christian unity is the result. This reminded me of us in our congregation. It's the result of God bringing together people from differing in ethnicities, backgrounds, social classes, into one family or one body in the faith for Christ. So, Father God, I just lift up this congregation to you, Lord. Father God, I ask that you would give us one heart and one mind for you, that the Great Commission would be as one throughout this church body, God. I ask, Lord, that you would teach us to be open and honest with the people outside, because the time is short. And Lord God, I ask that you would give us boldness and to be able to speak in love, because the time is urgent. It's an urgent time that we live in, God. This world is dying for you. God, we're dying for you, but we're dying without you. Lord God, open our hearts, open our minds. Let us be one. Let us go into the highways and the byways, as the word presents to us, to tell people there is a way out of this. Everybody's looking at the politics now, Lord God, and I just come against all of that and ask them to see what is above. What is above, not looking vertically. Look above where you are, God, that you would come and you would bless each of us with a heart for Jesus, with a heart for other human beings. So many times we judge human beings by the way they live their life, but they're just lost. We have to realize that they're lost. We were lost, and God came, and he saved us. But here was someone that talked to us. There was someone somewhere that talked to us. And if we were not talked to by someone else, the Holy Spirit brought us in. The Holy Spirit is with us today to help us to tell people. God, we thank you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you. I pray for boldness in the church. I pray for unity in the church, Lord. I pray that we become one body and one mind for you, Jesus. That would be our first and foremost goal in life. I mean, so many people work for money. We work for houses. We work for cars. We work for different things, God. I ask that you give us one mind, which would be the mind of Christ, the mind that we would love each other on this earth and tell them the urgency that they're looking for. It's not in the bank account. It's in the heart of God. We need the heart of God. We need to be united with one another and go out and seek and save the lost. And Father, that's my prayer for Bethel, that we would be one-minded for you, that we would seek to save those who are lost and bring them into the fold so that none may perish. You wish that none would perish, God. And God, that's my prayer for Bethel, that we would do the work of the Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you.
Amen. Jesus told us to pray and ask the Lord of the harvest to send harvesters into the field, workers into the field. And some of that's evangelistically, but we need gifts within the body of Christ. We need people that are capable of doing different things. That's why in 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4 you have that there are different people that are able to do different things, and we need people to step up and do stuff. And so John's going to come, and he's going to ask that the Lord would raise up people, whether it's in our midst or outside. You know, we've had musicians and people on the worship team come and go over the years, that we've lost team members and the Lord's brought new team members in. And that comes when we ask, right? You have not because you ask not. And so we ask, Lord, send more, raise them up.
In my prayer time this morning, I was saying the Lord's Prayer and I was focusing on one line. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I don't know exactly what's going to be going on in heaven, but I don't think that we're going to be sitting on our hands. The church right now really needs people. For this church, for the church to run effectively, we have to all be doing what we're supposed to be doing. And someone mentioned before, I think it was Ben mentioned gifts, and we all have different gifts, but the gifts weren't given to you to sit on. The gifts were given to you for the rest of us. So your gift is for the rest of us. So if you're not doing anything with your gift, it's useless. For this church to work effectively, my prayer is, Heavenly Father, that you would touch every heart. Every heart. It's in this place today. Show them what it is that you want them to do. Help us as one unit, many parts, the arm, the hand, the foot. We all know the scripture. Many parts work together as one. That is how this church is going to be effective in this community, in the communities that we live in our workplaces. People would be able to look inside and see how the body of Christ is supposed to work. Lord, you are the head. We are the arms and the feet. We are the toes, the hands, the ankles. May we all work together to bring unity to the church, and Lord, most of all, to bring you glory. You desire to be glorified. May you get the glory when we, the body, are able to do the work that you have given us to do. Thank you, Father, for this time. And I will be at the back of the sanctuary at the end. If anyone is thinking that there's something that I can do, that I want to do, come and see me and I'll write your name down. And even if there's something that we don't do, you want to do, let me know. We can start a ministry. We can do things with people that want to get involved in the body of Christ. Amen.
Isaiah was in prayer and he said, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? So you heard the Lord saying, who's going to go? So we just asked the Lord, raise up the workers for the harvest. And there's the Lord saying, who will I send? You know what Isaiah's posture was before the Lord? Then I said, here I am. Send me. You know, Jesus came across a rich young ruler, and that ruler was expressing a desire to be committed to the Lord. He does the commandments. He does different things. And Jesus finally said, there is one thing you lack. Sell all you have and give it to the poor. And that man walked away sad. And it's not that Jesus asked the same specific thing of every person. But what he wants out of all of us is absolute, total surrender to his will. And he can come up to each one of us and say, can you give up this thing? And many of us, I bet, have a thing that, well, Lord, I don't want to talk to you about that thing. Because I don't want to do that thing. Or I don't want to let go of that thing. Or I don't want to change that thing. And I want to pray for you, and I want to ask you to be open to the Lord. Again, this is Isaiah's posture. And I think this is almost a trick, but I think when Jesus said, ask the Lord of the harvest to pray that workers would go, I think it was almost like he was trying to think, how do I get this through to you? Ask that the workers will go. Lord, there's not enough workers, so that we would look and see, oh, there's work to be done. Oh, here am I. Send me. And so, Lord, I ask that you would help us to see with your eyes. Help our hearts to be soft, Lord. Every one of us, myself included, have moments where we see the need that is in front of us, and we walk away without having done anything, said anything, because we were busy, because we had a schedule, because we felt insecure about it, we weren't sure. We walked away. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to be free. We have responsibilities, for sure. We have things to tend to. But help us to be free, Lord, to see the needs around us and to respond to them. Because you said that the blessed are the ones who, when they saw me hungry, they fed me. When they saw me thirsty, they gave me something to drink. And you explained, Lord, that that was any need that is before us. That when we meet any need that is before us through your power, through your resources, we're touching your heart, Lord. We're serving you. We're bringing glory to you. So help us, Lord, to not be afraid. Help us to not be insecure and to look at our own abilities and look at our own circumstances and, like Peter, start sinking into the water. But help us to see Jesus, who is with us always. Help us to see that despite my circumstances, Jesus is in the midst of this. And so I can walk with him and do the work he's called me to do. That despite my surroundings, despite what I might lack, Jesus has it all, Lord. And so help us, Lord, to surrender to your will. Would you stand with me? And the remainder of the worship team, if you want to come. We're going to conclude in a song of worship and praise to the Lord before I come and dismiss us. But learn how to intercede. Learn how. You know, Jesus came to the disciples in the garden and said, could you not pray for 1 hour? And many of us, we do it for 10 minutes and we think, how am I supposed to go keep praying? 10 minutes is a long time. And there's Jesus saying, could you not pray for 1 hour? And the way, as we're taught in the Psalms to pray, is we come to him saying, these are my needs. These are my issues. Help me, Lord. We come to him saying, I'm dead. I'm not alive. Lord, make me alive. And then we come to him and ask for his heart and ask for the things that he cares about. Lord, reach people. Lord, move in people's lives. Help them to grow in their faith. Lord, build up your church. Unify your church. And then the result of praying the right way results in us saying amen and then going out and living out his will, walking in his power, walking in his victory. The result of prayer shouldn't result in I'm still floundering about in this life. Shouldn't result in I'm still living a carnal life and living the way I want to. It shouldn't result in an ignoring of the mission of God. It should result when someone walks out of truly encountering God, they have the same heartbeat and the same mind that he does. For this reason I came into the world, Jesus said, to seek and to save that which was lost. And so we're going to praise him because what did Jesus say? If people don't praise Him, what? The rocks will cry out. Which is what we were created to do, to worship Him and sing His praises. And that's why, as I read earlier, Psalm 150, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Has He done deeds in your life? Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Has He demonstrated greatness in your life? Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with the strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud crashing cymbals. You know, sometimes there's a time to be quiet before the Lord. And sometimes I think the Lord wants us to be vocal and loud. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Will you take one more moment and let's worship Him together?